All right. Okay, so that was a video talking about the all-black unit in World War I. So I also have a PowerPoint to go along with that. And it's purple for obvious reasons. As you guys know at this point, purple is my favorite color. All right. So this is basically kind of talking about a little bit about what the video said. So the video pointed out how the people in that unit actually volunteered. They wanted to volunteer for the military, for military service during the war. But they couldn't serve in the Marines, and the positions in the Navy and the Coast Guard were limited, and only the Army would accept them. Just stop and think about that for a second. The fact that these men volunteered, they wanted to serve their country, protect their country, help their country, and they were denied simply because of the color of their skin. Thinking about that today, it's like that's crazy. If they wanted to volunteer to fight, why not let them? But the army was the one that gave them the chance to do it. And the unit was organized by Colonel William Hayward, like they said in the video, in 1916. And then the federal government called them up into military service in 1917. So they were being prepared to go overseas to fight in the war. The very interesting part is that because of the discrimination towards these black soldiers, they were actually assigned to fight with the French army. And again, think about that for a second. You have American soldiers who are wanting to volunteer to fight in a war to defend America, protect America. And because of the color of their skin, racism, discrimination, they are literally sent to fight with another country's unit. Like, again, just blows my mind that that actually occurred. And so with France didn't care what color they were. France did not racially segregate them. They were like, all right, you want to fight? Let's come on, let's go. We need all the soldiers we can get. Like, nobody cared about their skin color. They looked at them as able-bodied men who were able to fight in combat during the war. So ultimately, around 200,000 black soldiers actually served overseas during the war. All right. So, like they said in the video, a lot of the times the roles for the black soldiers were kind of like behind the scenes. They weren't really seeing combat. And that's why the 369th Infantry Regiment was important, because they were the first all-black unit during World War I. And again, they fought with the French, and they also brought to Europe the culture of the music of jazz. And because during that time period, the 1915, early 1900s era, this was starting to become popular, this type of music. So going over fighting in Europe, fighting with France, they're bringing this culture of music with them. So after the war, like he said in the video, they were able to get France's highest military honors, decorations for heroism, all of these awards for their contribution to the war. Now, again, they come back home to the United States. Are they revered as heroes, World War I soldiers, fighting for the good guys? No. They also experienced continued racism and discrimination. And ironically, the anti-black riots and lynchings actually increased. You would think that the fact that these black men were able to accomplish these things that people didn't think they were able to accomplish, it would kind of change the mindset and the ideology that society had of black people, black men, black soldiers in general. And of course, it didn't. As we see, when they came back home to the US, they were not well received. Here's a picture. So, one thing I like to do is when talking about history, when we think of things like World War I, things that happened over 100 years ago, or even 50 or 60 years ago, when you see pictures that are in black and white, it makes you think, oh, that was so long ago. That was, 250 years ago. It's in black and white. Now, this photo is about just over 100 years ago, but I found a color photo of the popular black and white photo that exists of the 369th Infantry Regiment. And I thought looking at a color photo of it was very, very powerful. So this is a photo of the actual regiment. So I think it was towards the end of Unit 1, we talked about W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. So these are the things that happened after the Civil War and the Reconstruction era. So we've talked about this before. The Reconstruction era was, again, rebuilding the South and reuniting the country after the war. So some of the things that were passed were what are called the Reconstruction Amendments. And they are the 13th or the 15th. The 13th is the one that abolished slavery in the U.S., and that was after the Civil War. The 14th was the one that allowed people born in the U.S. to be automatically be citizens, along with having equal protection under the law. And the 15th Amendment was the one that gave former slaves or Black men the right to vote. So these were three of the main things that happened as a result of the Civil War. I'm going to pull up this assignment or this reading guide first to kind of give you a recap. So if you remember correctly, let me make this bigger. We talked about how Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois were both Black civil rights leaders during this time period. And part of the issue they had with each other was that they wanted to go about things differently. For instance, if you remember, Booker T. Washington was a man who escaped from slavery. So his life was not the same kind of life that Du Bois had. Du Bois was raised in the North. He was the first Black person to earn a degree from Harvard or a PhD from Harvard. He was never a slave. He lived in a more privileged lifestyle, privileged upbringing. So it was very different from Washington. So the issue that they had with each other was Du Bois didn't understand why Washington didn't care as much about integration as he did. He was like, you know what? We should go ahead and we should hit the ground running. We've got to end segregation in these Jim Crow laws. We have to do X, Y, and Z. And Washington was kind of like, bro, slow down. How about we focus on other Black people getting the rights and job training? How about we do that first? How about we focus on making other Black people independent? They're able to have a skill, hence why he created the Tuskegee Institute. And it taught Black people how to gain skills. So he was more focused on self-improvement. And he did believe in the aspect of equality. He really did. But he felt like, how about this? How about as Black people, we focus how to become independent, self-sufficient ourselves. And then we can kind of go towards the route that you're saying. And it says up here, you know, behind the scenes, he did work to advance towards equality, but that wasn't his main focus. So they had a big kind of, you know, issue with each other. But I think that one thing that Du Bois maybe failed to consider or didn't care was their upbringing. That, you know, him being a privileged man in the North, not having to go through, you know, the slavery that Booker T. Washington experienced, that their mindset is going to be different. Their priorities are going to be different. I don't know if he just didn't care, didn't think about it. And I think Booker T. Washington probably understood that as well. You know, hey, we grew up in different areas. We experienced different things. So we're going to want different things for Black people. So again, this was something from the first unit. This was the 1.09 reading guide. So if you want to go look at that again, you can look at that. It's still available. So here's a slide. This slide basically talks about what I just said about Booker T and what he did and how he felt. So it's literally the same thing. He escaped slavery. He founded the Tuskegee Institute. He focused on self-help and job training. And it did kind of seem like he condoned or accepted segregation, but he was really more focused on the concept of self-improvement. He felt like it's great to want these equal rights, these civil rights, whatever rights you want to call them. But how about if we get those rights without having self-improvement, self-sufficiency, how are we going to maintain that? We need to have some level of education to be able to do this. And again, Du Bois, he was the academic born and raised in Massachusetts up in the North, went to Harvard. And he believed that there was something called the talented 10th. It was the top percent of Black people that should lead the charge for equality. So basically those who were educated, who had the skill set to be able to understand what was going on, whether they be lawyers or professors, other types of educators. And he also helped form the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. He was one of, I think, 9 people that founded this organization. This organization still exists today. So that's the end of that PowerPoint. So saying all of that, now I want to go to what the actual question is on the discussion board. And again, if you're watching this video, that's great. You can also go back and watch the YouTube video. You can go back and watch the look at the PowerPoint. So here are the questions. Now, again, this is an opinion question. So there aren't right or wrong answers. When I saw this in our textbook, I thought this would be kind of interesting to connect the all Black unit in World War I to maybe how you guys would think Du Bois in Washington felt. So the first question is, why do you think Blacks volunteered to serve in the U.S. Army during World War I, despite their unfair treatment due to discrimination, Jim Crow laws, and segregation? So why do you think that they would even volunteer this, because they're being treated a certain way by this country that they're going to want to fight on behalf of? So the second question, refer to the PowerPoint, the video, or this video if you're watching it. So based on the two ideologies of Washington and Du Bois, how do you think they would have felt regarding Blacks volunteering to fight in the war? So question 2 is asking you about Washington. Question 3 is asking you about Du Bois. So based on those two men, their ideologies, their philosophies, how do you think they would have felt knowing that Black people volunteered to fight in the U.S. Army, given their current situation and their current status in the United States government and the country's society, basically being considered second-class citizens? So I thought this was a very interesting thing, and I'm excited to see what you guys have to say, because you guys are just awesome. And thank you so much for being so engaged. I was just bragging yesterday about how we had that awesome discussion. I was concerned that you were going to be bored talking about World War I, but it was so engaging. It was awesome. People were, you know, debating, dialogue. I had to tell you guys to leave because you were late to your next class. So I hope that we can kind of keep that up. That was great. So I look forward to seeing what you guys have to say in regard to this. And again, it's an opinion question. There's no right or wrong answer. This is literally what you think based on the information that you've been given about the all Black unit, Washington and Du Bois. How do you think they would have felt?